At the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, the brothers come back to Yosef, and Yehuda approaches Yosef, and Yehuda tells Yosef, "You can't take Binyamin because our father is old. Yishlanu Av Zaken. We have an old father, and he already lost his other son from that wife, from Rachel, and he can't bear to deal with the loss of Binyamin as well." And the Sukkim continue to tell this saga, and then the Yosef is unable to control himself. And the pasuk towards the beginning of Sheni, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Yosef al Echav ani Yosef ha'od avichai." He reveals himself to his brothers. He says, "I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive?" And the brothers were so overtaken; they were trembling that they couldn't respond. So already the tour in his parish, the sefer, the parish of the tour ala Torah, the tour asks already that the question of Yosef doesn't seem to make sense, because Yosef, the brothers came back in Parshas Miketz. They came back with Binyamin. He saw them. He ate with them. He asked how their father was doing. They responded. Then they got up to leave. They started to leave. They went down the road and they were called back. So they haven't been home since then. This was Egypt 3,000 years ago, more. They didn't have a way of contacting Yaakov Avinu. They didn't know whether or not anything had changed with how he was doing. So why is the first thing he asks, "Od Avichai?" The best they know, he was alive when they left. How are they supposed to know? That's the tour asked this question. And the tour says he wasn't asking if he was alive. He was now, he knew they had told him that he was alive, but he was asking, how's he doing? Is he okay? Is he healthy? How's he doing? How's he feeling? Another answer you could say is, when he asked as the king, he thought maybe they were giving the answer that the king wanted to hear. But now that he's saying, "Well, I'm Yosef, I'm your brother, so maybe now I could, they could tell the truth, so to speak." That's another pshat. But the Beis HaLevi turns the pasuk on its head. Beis HaLevi quotes from the Medrash. The Medrash on this pasuk says that Abba Kohen Bardala says on this pasuk, "Oy lanu miyom hadin, oy lanu miyom hatochecha." Woe is to us on the day of judgment. Woe is to us on the day of rebuke, because Yosef, who was the youngest of the brothers, he, when he gave Musar to the Shvatim, they were not able to respond. They couldn't answer him. He says, all the more so, when we come to Hashem on the Yom HaDin, we're not going to be able to respond. That's the Medrash. So the Beis HaLevi comes to explain, what is the Medrash talking about? What Musar did Yosef give to his brothers? So he wants to use this Musar to explain what the question was. Again, the Kasha was, why are you asking if your father's still alive? Nothing changed. How would they know anything different? Why are you asking again? Says the Beis HaLevi, he wasn't asking again. Beis HaLevi says that he was giving Musar. And this is how you read the pasuk. "Vayomer Yosef el Echav, ani Yosef, ha'od avichai." I'm Yosef. I am Yosef. You sold me down to Mitzrayim. You're giving me this whole drasha Yehuda. You're giving me this whole song and dance about how Binyamin is so precious, and our father will not be able to deal with missing his children from his favorite wife, and it's going to be too hard for him. Really? But I'm Yosef. I was the favorite brother. Ha'od Avichai, you care? All of a sudden, you care that your father needs to live? Oh, we can't take Binyamin away because the poor guy, he's not going to be able to handle it. Really? And he is able to handle? He's going to be able, he was able to handle when you took me away. I'm Yosef, remember? K'sonas Pasim, I'm the one. I was the favorite child. And you didn't care about Yaakov Avinu. You didn't care about our father when you took me away, when you sold me to slavery, when you almost killed me. All of a sudden, you care. What's the Musar? The Musar is, he's replying to them, "Lishi Tascha. You set the standards. You set the standard that you didn't care about our father. Because if you cared about our father, you wouldn't have done that to me. You wouldn't have done that to him. So he's reminding them, what you did to me shows that you don't do things because you have your vested interest is in your father. That's not why you do it. And that is the greatest mussar. To tell somebody that the personal standards that you set for yourself, those are the standards that you're failing to meet. Right? I don't expect you to be like Reb Zusha said, they say b'shem Reb Zusha, that they're not going to ask me why I'm not like Moshe Rabbeinu, they're not going to ask me why I'm not like the Rambam or whoever, like Rabbi Akiva, they're going to ask me why I'm not like Zusha. And for that, I have no answer. According to your own standards, you didn't care. You didn't care about me. All of a sudden, you care now? The mashal when we were in yeshiva, many years ago when I first heard this Beis HaLevi, the mashal, Motzei Shabbos, you wait for Shabbos, you come back to yeshiva, and you're very tired, so you're too tired to go to the Beis Medrash. You know what, I'll get a good night's sleep, and then tomorrow morning I'll be on time for Shacharis, and I'll have a good day of learning. Okay, I can't learn, I'm too tired. Friend comes into your room, yo, let's go, we're going to play ball. You jump out of bed, change into clothes 2 seconds, put your sneakers on, and you're out the door, and you're in the gym. What happened? I thought you said you were too tired. Teretz is, you weren't too tired. It wasn't because you were tired. It was because you weren't ready to learn, you weren't in the mood to learn, whatever it was. But we have to realize sometimes, so we're the one who sets the standards. So if you're taka too tired, you're too tired. But very often, that's not it. That's not it. That's a smokescreen. It's not that you're too tired. It's that you didn't want to learn now. And that is the greatest mussar. Because when we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to say, but the guy who sat next to you in shir, he accomplished X, Y, and Z. Hashem's not going to say that. You applied yourself, or did you not apply yourself to be the best version of yourself? If you weren't the best version of yourself, you're going to be held accountable. You're only going to be held accountable to your standards. But woe to you if you don't match your standards. If you're too tired, that's fine. But it's not about tired. It's about the learning. And that's the mussar that says the Beis HaLevi. That's the mussar that he gave. So he wasn't asking, is my father still alive? He was responding to Yehuda. He was saying, I'm Yosef. I'm the one you sold. You didn't care about my father then. Why all of a sudden do you care now? You've set the standard that it doesn't bother you that what you did caused your father pain. So I'll tell you, there's a beautiful sefer which I just got hold of called the Shiraz David. Shiraz David is David Goldberg. He has a lot of Sfarim on Masechtas, and he has a lot of Perushim on Sifrei Musar. He's a Rashiva in Tells in Wycliffe, Cleveland. And the Shiraz David was just reprinted with a lot of Hosafos, and recently, within the past few months, I think. And Baruch Hashem, I was able to get a copy of the Sefer. He says that there, Lamaisa, the Beis HaLevi at face value, there are two tainas that one could have. Yehuda still could have answered the Kasha. What would his answer have been? His answer would have been, what do you mean? This is a totally separate case. When it happened, when you were a bacher, when we sold you to slavery, first of all, our father was a young man. Now he's an old man. Yesh lanu av zaken. He's an old man now. So it's a different, it's not that we didn't care about him then. Then he was able to handle it. Okay? That's number one. Number two is, when he lost you, we sold you into slavery. Okay. But he still had Binyamin. But if he's going to lose Binyamin, now he doesn't have anybody. So the taina, that Binyamin, Yehuda has a teretz. According to the Beis HaLevi's pshat, says the Shiraz David, he has a teretz. And he goes, he gives a similar teretz, al derech the Beis HaLevi, to try to avoid those kashas. I don't know, I feel that those kashas are, you know, it's exactly the point. I think it fits with the Beis HaLevi. Because a lot of times, when we don't live up to our potential, we don't do what we're supposed to do, we give a teretz. But it's a teretz. It's not miyashev. It's not a satisfying teretz. It's a teretz. It makes us feel better. But it's not miyashev the kasha. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to come to you and say, were you tired or was it the ball? Yosef came to the brothers and said, who are you to tell me that all of a sudden you care about your father? No, we do care about our father. That was a different case. That was only causing him pain a little bit. And he was younger. He was able to handle it. And he still had Binyamin. Really? Really? You mean you care about your father, but it's okay to cause him some pain? You didn't feel like that would kill him? It's okay to cause him pain, but not to kill him? You feel now he's gonna die for it. Now he's not gonna be able to handle it because he's older and now he doesn't have Yosef or Binyamin. Really? That was your cheshbon? I mean, it's a teretz, but it's not really miyashev the kasha. Do you care about your father or not? If you cared about your father, you wouldn't have caused him pain. I don't care. You're handling with how much pain he could handle. What kind of? So it's a teretz, but it's they say sometimes you come up with a chiluk. It's a chiluk, but it's not machalik. Yeah, it's a difference between the two. Like when you're trying to be magdir or halacha, you show a difference between the two, but that difference doesn't matter. It's true that Yehuda could have technically answered the question, but it wouldn't have taken away the sharp musar that he gave. I want to share just one. That's the musar of the Beis Halevi. I want to just share. I saw in the Shir Rabbeinu Meir Halevi, that's with Meir Soloveitchik, his son of the Briska Rav, and he quotes his Beis Halevi. Obviously, he deals with the Beis Halevi. That's his great grandfather. His father's a Briska Rav, so his grandfather was Reb Chaim. So he quotes a pshat from Reb Chaim's brother, Reb Avram Baruch. He quotes a different pshat. Lefi the Medrash. Okay, so this is the Beis Halevi's son, Avram Baruch. He says, when he said, Ani Yosef, what was the Musar? The Musar was, the last while, they had been living their lives, assuming they came down to Egypt. The head of Egypt was very busy with them, telling them that they're spies, and going back and forth with them, with the whole episode. And then sending them home, bringing them back. Everything that happened, they were completely, completely off. They were living a false life. Everything that they thought to be true about what happened in their lives over the past while was not true. It didn't really happen that way. That was not what was going on. It's a moment of, uh-oh, everything that I was living was a lie. I was mistaken this whole time. That's the greatest musar. There was a fellow who came from a home that grew up speaking Yiddish, and he spoke English. And he worked as an English teacher in a certain yeshiva, which was a Yiddish-speaking yeshiva. This is decades ago. And the boys were not so respectful, and this fellow didn't look Hasidish, so they didn't know that he spoke Yiddish. So at the beginning of the year, they spoke to him in Yiddish, and he just ignored them, and he taught. So they assumed he didn't understand Yiddish, so they would always say things behind his back. In front of his face, behind his back, they were just talking Yiddish when they wanted to say something. Now, he understood every word, but they didn't know. And one day, they said something that was extremely disrespectful, and he lashed out at them in Yiddish. The person told me this story, they all, like, jaw-dropping, looking at the teacher, oh my gosh, you mean everything we've said the entire year, he understood? That's what it was. Imagine, all of this that's going on. Remember every conversation they had? They thought Yosef didn't understand and there was a translator in between? Yosef understood everything they said. Everything they said was a lie. Everything they said They have to now go back and revisit every situation and, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? I was living my whole life false. And that was the Musar of Yosef. I'm Yosef. I'm Yosef. Everything you've been doing until now, it's all a sham. Everything was, this is what's really going on. And he says that that's the greatest Musar. That their lives, they were living a mistake. Sometimes we go a certain way, we do a certain thing, we make decisions, and then a few years later we look back and we say, "Oi, that whole time it was all a mistake. I thought that this is what was happening, and I was completely off." And that sometimes is the greatest musar also, when we realize everything was a mistake. We shouldn't have it. We should be able to live our lives al pi ha'emes. Sometimes that which is the sheker is most appealing, is most exciting. The Yetzirah, this is the job of the Yetzirah. When we do an Avera, if you ever do an Avera good, you go into McDonald's, you eat the cheeseburger, it looks so good, it smells so good, you eat it, by the time you're done, you feel so bad. You're like, really, for that? I sold my neshama for that? The whole thing? It was all a scam. It wasn't even so good. Even if it tasted good, it's over now. It's done. I'm done eating it. You know, 45 seconds later, I finished the hamburger, the cheeseburger, whatever it is. For what? And then you realize it was all a fake. All that desire and that kishmak that I thought I was getting from the cheeseburger. For what? For what? I sold my neshama. We should never have to think like that or feel that way. And hopefully, hopefully we'll be able to overcome the tochacha. But these are the things, these are serious things that we have to consider and we have to deal with. And Bezer Hashem, we should live our lives in a way that we can respond, that we can be, we don't have to be nivalu mipanov of the Ribbono Shel Olam.